I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
This is the train, which, if the experiments prove successful, is going to make travelling very much cheaper for all of us. The invention of a young Irish electrical engineer, it is driven by power from accumulators which it carries. When the train comes to a standstill at the station, recharging of the batteries commences automatically by the contact made by the shoes fitted to the roof of the coach, which you can see here. Here's Dr. Drum, the inventor, telling President Cosgrave all about it. Before they set out on a trial run with most of the Irish Free State ministers as passengers. On the trip from Westland Row to Bray, everybody was amazed at the rapid acceleration. The top speed will be about 60 miles an hour. Whilst this wonderful new advance in electrification of the railways is still in the experimental stage, it really does look as though in the near future we shall be able to pop down to the seaside or up to town to the pictures for a few pence instead of pounds.
What an extraordinary piece of history. Well, I'm joined in studio now by historian, broadcaster and podcaster, Turtle Bunbury. Turtle, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
This is an extraordinary chapter in the history of Irish Rail, and we'll talk about that in a moment or two, this electric train, a battery-operated train from the 1930s. But let's go back a little bit to the origins of rail in Ireland.
Okay, I mean, the birth of railways really kicks off in 1804. That's when the first locomotive heads off down a track in Wales. By 1825, they're using trains to cart coal in northeast England. But the biggie is in 1830. That's when they first start moving passengers from Liverpool to Manchester. That's the first train, 1830. That catches the eyes of these two pretty extraordinary Quaker merchants called James Pym and his cousin Tom Pym. Do you know who I mean by the Pyms?
Well, there used to be a store in Dublin called Pym's.
Yeah, they're just really enterprising Quaker merchants that were, a lot of them were down in Mount Mellick and Leash, but they were all over Dublin. And Pym's, they had the mill that's now, later became Boland's and is now Google. Anyway, these guys thought that the idea of running a train from the Dublin city centre out to the new deep water port at Dunleary, Kingstown, they thought that's going to be great. We're going to put passengers on it. We're going to put commodities on it. We're going to make some money.
And when did they actually open that railway?
It was quite complicated because, okay, so it's a really expensive process doing this. And they managed to get a lot of money from various investors and merchants and so forth. But it's from a civil engineering point of view, it's really complex because you're trying to build cuttings and embankments and tunnels and bridges and all that sort of stuff. But they also had to deal with compensation claims by the landowners who were living along the track. Okay, quite a lot of aristocracy and gentry who were suddenly going to have their views spoiled by this unpleasant iron horse, chugging along with its black smoke all the time.
And they had a name for this locomotive, did they not?
The one that was going to make the opening track was the Hibernia, exactly. And it made its first journey just before Christmas in 1834. And when it set off, it must have been quite a sight. It was a sort of Thomas the Tank Engine, bright green locomotive with 9 carriages on the back. And those carriages were all painted by class, by whichever class you were in. If you were first class, it was purple. If you were, it was called intermediate class, that was a sort of pale yellow, and then green and blue for third class. So that is what set off down the line from Westland Row to Kingstown in 1834.
Did it stop anywhere on the way?
One stop at Blackrock.
At Blackrock.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have a service by rail from Dublin city centre all the way to what was then Kingstown and is now Dunleary. But to get beyond, there was another incredible invention to get as far as Dalkey.
Right. Okay. This is the Dorky Atmospheric, it's called. And I often think of Elon Musk when Elon Musk was, do you remember, he was babbling about his Hyperloop a few years ago. He was going to have blast passengers from Los Angeles to San Francisco in 35 minutes. Sounded absolutely terrifying. Anyway, that's all gone now. There's no talk about it. But if he was looking for a prototype, I think Elon might have had to spin over to Dorky and look at the Dorky Atmospheric. This actually was also championed by James Pym, the Quaker merchant I mentioned earlier, and he thought it might be a sort of better, cheaper, quicker technology than the railways. And it, so if you think about the line had reached, as you say, Kingstown, Dunleary. Now, the tracks were extended from there to Dorky, but this time they put they sank a rubber pipe through the centre of the rails, a 15-inch rubber pipe. And this pipe is connected to a vacuum, which is connected to a sort of steam engine, a stationary steam engine, and there's a piston involved. It's all very complex, but ultimately...
So it's basically sucking air out of the tube.
It is sucking the air out of the tube, which sucks the train along. Okay, so you're sucked along. You and the passengers are sucked along from... It's a very short journey. It's like a bit, I think, a mile and a bit to get from Dorky to Dunleary and back. And it was apparently quite pleasant, actually. It was, nice and quiet, certainly compared to the steam trains, which are all smoky and horrible, especially if you were going through a tunnel. They're apparently horrible. But it didn't quite work out.
Yeah. Now, it was sucked to a certain point, and then it rolled down into Dorky. Then it was sucked back up, and then it rolled down into Kingstown. This is the way the geography of the land worked. Now, it was successful in the sense that it ran as designed.
What
happened?
There was a couple of things there. So first of all, the pipe itself, rats got into it and started nibbling away at the rubber. So that was causing problems there. Then they had a lot of, the thing that connected the pipe to the train itself was sealed by leather washers, and they all sort of eroded and corroded and so on. But the biggie was it just didn't have enough energy to get up the steeper gradient. So if you were a passenger and you looked remotely muscular, you might be asked to get off the train and give the train a heave.
A last shove to get it to the point where it could roll.
Yeah, exactly. On the way back, on the return journey, going down to Dunleary, you'd let gravity take its course.
So how long did it last before it was discontinued?
10 years.
Just 10 years.
And that was the only way to get from Dunleary to Dorky by train until 1854. And then that was the end of it. It was just too much hassle, really.
Now, another occasion, we might get to talk about the proliferation of rail right across the country. I mean, if you look at a map from the 19th century of rail running across Ireland, it's like all the arteries and veins in a human body.
It's incredible.
Rail was everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it really was. And all, that is the railway mania that kicked in the 1840s. Absolutely incredible impact.
Now, what we want to advert to now is that Pathé News clip that we heard at the top of our conversation. And this is an extraordinary development. Talk about Back to the Future, a battery-operated train in the 1930s in Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And I mean, James Drum is an unsung hero. He was mentioned on the clip there. And he was from Dundrum in County Down, but he was based in Dublin. He was at UCD. He was a research chemist there. Brilliant man. And by 1929, 1930, he'd invented this rechargeable nickel-zinc battery with which he then was able to pioneer these battery-operated trains. And as you say, it's like, incredibly futuristic thinking. He set up what was called the Drum Battery Company. And his plan was quite brilliant, actually, because he knew that the new hydroelectric scheme at Ardna Crusher on the Shannon, the ESB there, it had a considerable excess supply of electricity. And he said, I'm going to tap into that that surplus of electricity and use it to power my trains, which is, has an enormous appeal to lots of people, not least the government of the Free State, which is why W.T. Cosgrave, the president, as he's called in the clip, was so enthusiastic about it.
So he designed this train, and the idea would be that at every stop it would automatically connect to charging, so the battery would be topped up from time to time.
The battery would be topped up. There were little charges while they waited, yeah. But the main charges were at either end, where it ran for 14 miles between what is now Dublin Connolly and Bray Station. But, they were able to charge it sufficiently. At one point they did a trial run in 1931, where they could run it all the way from Inchicore to Port Arlington, okay, which is quite a hike. And they did that on a single charge. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was to be taken very seriously. But I guess they were just a little bit nervous about it, you know, running out. So they generally restricted it to that Connolly to Bray line, occasionally down to Greystones.
So what happened to it? Why did it not continue development?
Actually, funny enough, it was the... So it did okay during the economic the war with Britain and all that. It sort of played okay in the electricity surplus. But then with the emergency or the Second World War, first of all, the materials he needed for battery making were drying up. He couldn't access them. And then a lot of it for him, the Drum Battery Company, it was all about finding an overseas market for this. This was the, you know, the prototype. And obviously with the global war going on, he wasn't able to find a market. His company folded. And then, alas, by kind of 1949, the trains were all switched to a much cheaper new commodity called diesel.
Yeah. And it's extraordinary when you think about the development at the time. We had, obviously, electrification on our roads because we had trams on rails to places like Howth and out to Dalkey as well. So we had electric travel and we had efficient electric motors. But alas, on mainline rail, no more.
No, it kind of vanished. I mean, you know, obviously it came back in with the Dart to an extent. You know, that's when electricity comes back in 1984, 10 years after James Drum died. But not actually no more because, okay, so battery-operated trains, you'll find them in Germany and Japan and places. But as of now, Janrod Eren, Irish Rail, have 57 new five-car trains coming apparently in 2027. And 31 of those trains are going to be a hybrid, battery electric hybrid. So, you know, I think we can say that James Drum's legacy lives on.
Turtle Bunbury, historian, broadcaster and podcaster, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.